let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore.
720 WGN. It's Amy Guth, and I did not pick that song. That is a gift from esteemed producer Shane Reardon, because he is frolicking in the snow this afternoon and loving it and feeling positively giddy about the snow. And who isn't, really? Because it is... you're going to keep going with that. Great. Great. I specifically said, do I hear you playing Let It Go in the producer booth? You're not going to play it on the air.
Oh, he was playing it before he even...
And he was like, no, yeah. Guth, I would never do that. No.
He's a happy little camper.
Liar! That's what.
I can't hold back my Christmas feelings.
Oh,
that's
already?
Not Christmas. That's just winter.
Yeah, but I associate it with Christmas. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sidebar, it is super festive here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. The light parade was this evening, and as the parade goes, the lights light up along Michigan Avenue, and it is darn festive and cozy in here.
Beautiful.
Snow on the ground, lots of little twinkly stuff in the studio and out of Michigan. It is so nice.
Santa's legs hanging out of the fireplace.
Right. There is this, I'll have to tweet out a picture of this, but there is like a fireplace with the lower half of Santa sticking out of it that comes out every year here at WGN Radio. And if I had a dollar for every photo floating around of WGN employees posing in some way or another with the back half of Santa, I would be wealthy.
Most of them inappropriate.
I'd be wealthy not only from the dollar, but also from the bribes that came in to not share those photos. Good times. Well, so my friends, we're getting a little bit of a late start tonight. We had lots of Blackhawk stuff to talk about with our friend Judd Surratt. So we gave him all that time to do so. But we still have lots to get to. We are going to be talking all about Thanksgiving and what used to be a day or two after it meant the start of the holiday shopping season. But now, of course, it means the middle of the day on Thanksgiving. So we're going to be talking about that. And I want to hear from you on that topic, because there is much to discuss all around Black Friday that is now Thursday, that's kind of co-opting Thanksgiving. So we're going to be talking all about that. But we're also going to be talking with a writer who is on a mission to raise our awareness about distracted driving. And she has a very personal connection to it, and she's going to be telling us about that. And she's doing a lot of great work in that area, so we're definitely going to be talking with her. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to get down to it. All right, we'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN. Hey, that's us. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. That's a much better song than that Let It Go Frozen business you were playing a minute ago, Shane. Much better. Well, we're getting a late start to the show this evening, because we had lots of Blackhawk stuff to get into, which is all good, although it was not all good for them, per se. But we're going to catch you up, because we still have lots to talk about on this show. And so right now, I would like to welcome to the show writer, editor, woman of many titles. She's an editor at Good Housekeeping and Monkey Bicycle, and she's also a writer for Runner's World. Please welcome to the show Laura Carney. Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thanks for staying up late with us. Sorry, it was a little later than we thought, but we're very happy to have you on. So you write for many places. You do lots of wonderful things, but there's a particular cause that you have aligned yourself with that is very, very meaningful to you. And I'm hoping that you can kind of take us through what that is and what happened and all of those things.
Sure. Basically, my dad died in a distracted driving accident with a teenager who was on her phone about 12 years ago. And it's only been, I guess, about the past 2 years that I've kind of been public about it and writing about it, even though, I was 25 when it happened. So sort of to cope with what had happened, I just wrote about it. So I have, like 15 or 20 or so essays that I was writing, kind of about my relationship with my dad, but also, whenever I would kind of encounter an experience in my life where I could use his guidance, like, it would just happen. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I was pretty prolific before this happened.
Yeah.
I had other things I was interested in writing about. And then all of a sudden, when this, like, tragedy happened, it was like every single thing I wrote, he would just pop up in.
Sure.
So I didn't really know what to do with any of them. And then I got a job at Good Housekeeping. And, I mean, this was something that was very much in my private life. Like, I wasn't really publishing these things. And also because I'm a journalist, so I thought, well, there's no I in journalism, so it's kind of difficult to write about yourself. So I was working for Good Housekeeping, and there was an article about an organization called End Distracted Driving. And I thought, well, I didn't even know this existed. There's like groups that are trying to make a difference with this. So I called them up and met this, you know, wonderful man named Joel Feldman, and his daughter died in a distracted driving accident. She was walking in a crosswalk, and I believe the man was on his GPS or was like reaching for an iced tea or something. And he just, you know, crashed right into her, and she was 21 at the time. And Joel, you know, goes to schools across the country, spoken to like 250,000 people. And really, I kind of developed this relationship with him that really, he kind of was a mentor for me. It really gave me the courage to start doing things about this. So I started publishing a few essays, and I went with him to speak in a school. And I had kind of started running around the same time. And it occurred to me, oh, people run the New York Marathon for various charities. So I thought, well, I could do this. Like, this could be my charity. And it was really just promoting that over the past 6 months that I thought, well, I could also use my writing to promote this particular thing. So it turned out much better than I could have even hoped for. I raised about $1,200. And, yeah, I really, it's funny because each time I have an essay published, I mention, oh, I have a collection of essays, like, in a book. And I don't actually have a publishing deal quite yet, but it feels much more real that, like, this is something that's definitely going to happen.
Sure.
So, and the other motivation was my fiancé proposed 2 years ago. And at the time, I said, you know, like, I really want to feel like I've done something positive with this chapter of my life. And, you know, it's not something I'm just, like, kind of bringing with me into my marriage, which I kind of see as another chapter, like, I'm going forward. So it's just, it's like every single thing I've done with this has had an incredibly positive outcome. And just the fact that I've connected with actually a few other young women who have lost their dads or other family members, like, that's been incredibly meaningful to me, because it's sort of like when it happened and I was 25, I felt so alone. It's like, oh, I couldn't talk about it. But now it's like there are so many people. But at the same time, it's horrible that there are so many people who've experienced this, because it's just such a huge problem.
Sure. And so what are the facts that we don't necessarily know about distracted driving? I think we have seen a lot of campaigns about, you know, not texting and driving. You know, we see that. But I don't know if the numbers are reflecting that yet. So having such an unfortunately an inside look at this issue, what do you wish more people knew?
You know, I don't think your average person even probably knows what the laws are in your state. I mean, I admit that I myself didn't know, like, you know, I was looking these things up today. I didn't know what the laws were in every single state. And so right now, it's about 46 states that text messaging is banned in, and 14 states have a ban on handheld cell phones. But at the same time, they've been learning that it doesn't really make that big of a difference. Like, the crashes are kind of still happening. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because, I mean, there was a new study that just came out that said even if you're using, like, a handheld phone, you're still distracted. Like, you could be using it, and then it says, like, you know, it takes as long as, like, 27 seconds after you've dialed a phone before you kind of can regain your focus on the road, which, I mean, if you're driving at 25 miles per hour, that's like the length of three football fields, basically.
Yeah, that's significant. And I saw a study on there's a great site. I recommend that everyone go to this. It's NDD, as in distracted driving, ndd.org. And Laura Carney has an essay on that, and it is the story of what happened with her father and the person that the woman that was on her phone in the other car that hit him, that took his life. And it is a really, really moving piece. And I recommend you go find it, go see it. Again, that's ndd.org. But also on there, there's a lot of really interesting information. And one that caught my eye because of a personal connection, I lost a family member to a drunk driver. And there was a study that they linked to on that site comparing the similarities between even having a conversation on a hands-free device, how distracted you are as compared to your delayed reaction time if you are behind the wheel and impaired. And it was pretty striking. And I think, you know, come to, I think we all know, I don't think anyone would argue with the idea that no one is going to be responsible behind the wheel when after they have been drinking. I think that's there was so many campaign after campaign after that about that issue years ago and continues to be. And we've seen those numbers kind of start to come down. But yet, you know, to compare them that in such a stark way was very significant. Something I didn't realize that it was that comparable.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course, I'm really sorry to hear about your loss with that. I had no idea. But I mean, yeah, and also they're saying now that distracted driving is actually more of a cause of death for teens than drinking and driving is. Mm. So that's pretty amazing as well.
And I think I recall in it was either that study or a different one about the result is often so much worse in a distracted driving because a lot of times in drunk driving, the person who has been drinking doesn't tense up, doesn't react, doesn't have time to. And whereas in distracted driving, they're, you know, will have a moment and try to react. And sometimes that ends up being, you know, a fatal mistake, truly. It's very complicated.
I mean, the overcompensation
right,
for it, you mean?
Right. Whereas a drunk driver sometimes doesn't even know what's happening and they just kind of, you know, they don't have a chance to react or to tense or something like that. So sometimes these, the distracted driving ones end up so much worse because there is a last second moment of looking up and realizing what's about to happen and having the presence of mind to react, but far too late, really. Who's doing the best work in this area? I mean, endDD.org seems like they're doing really good work. A lot of car insurance companies seem like they're talking about this a lot, but who's really kind of leading the path here around this issue?
Well, you know, the people I know who I've talked to, like Joel, like I mentioned, he's been doing amazing work, and that's why that's the charity I chose when I was running the marathon. And, you know, there's a woman named J.C. Good who, like, she has a campaign called Hang Up and Drive, and I mean, she has a very interesting story. She lost both of her parents on her graduation day because of someone on a cell phone.
Oh,
and, you know, she sustained injuries and had some brain injuries at the time. And, I mean, I think she's okay now, but, I mean, she's been on CBS, like, she's writing a memoir. She just has made it her life mission to go and speak. And I think because she's so young, you know, that makes a big difference. And then Emily Stein, she lost her father. She's from the Boston area. And she has a campaign where she, I don't know if it's a campaign or her new sort of motto where she says, crash, not accident. Because she wants people to understand, you know, the implication of it's really not an accident if you're, you know, you're texting or you're on your phone. You're actually like,
you're making a
premeditated
choice.
Thing.
Yeah,
you're making a choice.
That's a wonderful motto. That's a really that really does drive the point home quite well. So as you took on this marathon and you started raising money for around this issue and certainly a lot of awareness, you know, what was that emotional process? Because I know that training for and running a marathon brings out stuff. It just does. And so how did that manifest for you?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know that going into, you know, I had no idea what that was going to be. Like, I had run a half marathon before, and I'd been running for about 2 years. And, you know, what I did know was it had really changed me mentally already. You know, I mean, I kind of had stopped even social drinking around the time I started running. And all of a sudden, it was like I had this energy to do things and create things, like, more than I had before. Because I think when you run, you know, it does something with your thoughts. Like, it kind of helps you process things. Like, let's say you had a day where you're stressed out or something, and you know, you go for a good run, and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, wait, like, that wasn't about me, like, that thing that happened, you know? Like, I can totally separate myself from that. And it's like you have this, like, safe space that you go into. And I think there's something about, I mean, I don't know exactly the scientific thing, but when you're going through this forward motion as you're running, it's like you're kind of going through whatever you need to go through. You're feeling it. And I mean, by the time I was marathon training, like, it surprised me. I mean, I had some, you know, 10, 15 mile runs where I was like yelling at some points. I mean, it was near like nighttime and nobody was in the parks, thank God, or it'd be like, there's the crazy woman. But, because I think I just had so much anger that I was carrying around inside of me from this thing that happened. And I knew that I needed to have this, like, focused experience to get through it. And, you know, by processing it, I kind of have healed myself from the anger I sort of had at a world that could let this happen. And by doing that, I feel like I'm better able to help other people through, you know, just through telling the story and expressing it.
Sure, certainly. And as for the essay collection, how many essays are in there at this point? And kind of what do they span? Is it childhood stories or kind of all a testament to your dad or all of those things?
It's a testament to my dad. It is a lot of childhood stories because a lot of times, you know, I would be experiencing something in my life that just would, you know, spring up a memory from something when I was a kid. So it is a lot of things like that. I have about three I'm still working on finishing. My goal is to kind of try to publish them in a few different places throughout the rest of the year and then try to compile it into a book. But, I mean, I think mainly my goal is I want this to be, you know, a relatable thing. You know, there was a study a couple years ago on something called experience taking. And that means, you know, when you read something, I think it was Ohio State, you read something in literary fiction and you feel like you've gone through it yourself. And I mean, they did like a scientific study on it. Like they had a story about, you know, someone learning how to register to vote. And these kids in college learned this, like they read this story. And when they read it in the first person and it was, they thought it was written by someone at their school, like 69% of them went out to go vote. Like it actually changed their behavior. And I almost, like, I wonder sometimes, is that the missing piece of this problem? Because they have the bands, they have, you know, the commercials about it. I mean, you know, I remember being a kid in the 80s and seeing, like, you know, say no to drugs, just say no. Or, you know, you just see it and you kind of think, oh, yeah, you know, I know I'm supposed to do that, but that's not going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Like, most kids think they're invincible. They don't think anything's going to happen to them. So my goal is, you know, this happened to me when I was 25. So if I have these stories that are both, you know, from that time period and also some from my childhood and just have this narrative that is relatable to someone who's around that age or even a little bit younger, you know, maybe that there's a chance. Maybe that would make a difference to someone. They would think about it like, oh, I know what that feels like. I don't want to be involved in that.
Sure. And so we hear this mostly as it relates to teens, but do we see this behavior from other older age groups too? Or is it mostly teens?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it is, you know, I've read that it's 50% of teens admit that they're doing this, even though they know that there's bans. Like it still continues to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I think they're more susceptible just because, you know, this generation has always had phones. They don't know life without it. I mean, I think there was an article a couple years ago that said teenagers don't even really care about getting cars anymore because they just want to stay home and, like, text people. But one of the things that Joel Feldman does when he gives his talks, which I think is really effective, is he talks about parents and he asks the kids in the room, you know, how many of your parents drive distracted? Because he really believes it's sort of like parents can be like, do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times teens are seeing their parents behind the wheel, like using a phone. So it's a big problem, I think, across the board.
Hmm. Well, there's so much to this, and I'm so glad that you're taking it on. I wish it was under better circumstances, and I'm sorry for your loss of your father. But all the work that you're doing seems so very important and so impactful. So I wish you all the luck in the world with it. And now that you have done the marathon, I wish you so much luck with the essays. They're lovely. And again, everybody, go to ndd.org and look for this. But also you can find her work in Good Housekeeping, Monkey Bicycle. She writes for Runner's World. You're everywhere, Laura. We can find your byline all over the place. Is there a website or social media handle that you'd like to connect with people through?
Yeah, I have a website where you can find some of the essays we're talking about. It's bylaurakarney.com.
Great.
So you could go there. And I actually have one in the December Good Housekeeping that's out right now.
Excellent. Everybody, go read it. It's an excellent piece. I highly recommend go pick up a copy of Good Housekeeping and read this and take it to heart and talk with the people that you love about this issue. It's really, really, really important. It's a big deal. And as you've heard, it's just a moment can change lives in unbelievable ways. So please take it to heart. Keep this in your mind. Don't drive distracted. Please, please, as a favor to all of us. Laura, thank you so much for being with us and telling us about your mission. It is certainly a worthy one for sure.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, you too.
All right. All right, my friends, we're going to take a little break and we're going to get you to news with our buddy Roger Badish. But first, all the things we're getting to when we come back, I want to hear from you because we have so much to talk about with Thanksgiving coming up. And it's not even going to be a full Thanksgiving because Black Friday has totally crept into Thanksgiving. And I want to know what you think about that. Do you think it's okay? Are you going to go do it? Are you going to shop on Thanksgiving evening? Or do you think it's a terrible idea that is ruining Thanksgiving? Or somewhere in the middle? Let's talk about it. 312-981-7200. Let's take a little break. We'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN.
She's a Black Friday woman.
720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. That is a fine gem of a song that you just found there, Shane.
It's in the new Big Lots commercial, Amy. Stay up to date on your Big Lots commercials.
My bad. I had no idea. My friends.
You've never seen the Back Lots? Or
I don't watch TV because I'm always here.
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
But you're surrounded by TVs there.
I know.
Right? Yeah.
That's true. Only the station-approved stations, though.
Oh, okay. They've got all the kids' channels locked. You
right.
can't get them. Okay.
24/7 is okay. A thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, so I would like to talk about that topic. Because here's the thing. For years I have said, what is lovely about Thanksgiving is that it is one of the few holidays that is totally unspoiled by commercialism. Wouldn't you agree, Roger?
I would definitely agree. Supposed to be.
Supposed to be, right? It's mm-hmm. it's lovely. It is mm-hmm. about coming together with the people that you love and mm-hmm. arguing with them about politics. That is what Thanksgiving is for. And having them judge your life choices. That's what Thanksgiving is
of
for.
Of course, yes.
There was sidebar to this. I don't know if you caught any of Saturday Night Live tonight.
No.
But there was a sketch early in the show, because Adele was the musical guest tonight. Mm-hmm. She has that new, very beautiful song, Hello, that just tears your heart out.
Hello.
That's the one. So he's singing too, Shane. He's singing.
He's a jack of all trades.
I know. So there's this scene where the family is sitting around the dinner table and they're starting to kind of pick at each other about things, mm-hmm. about like political disagreement and you know, someone's brought a boyfriend home that is a different race, and so someone's making some generalizations about him and that are offensive, and you know, it's getting tense. So there's a little girl at the table, and she kind of, then the voiceover says something like, the one thing that everybody can agree on, and the little girl runs over to like a boombox and hits play, and it's the Adele song, and everybody, it's suddenly in black and white, and everyone's mm-hmm. lip syncing so beautifully and like touching each other's faces and singing along to Adele. And every time the dinner table conversation gets kind of wonky, she goes back over and plays the Adele song, and everybody just stands up and looks at each other, and there's a fan on their hair, and you know, everything's so perfect. It's so funny. If only that worked in real life.
If only, yeah.
As I was saying. So
wait a minute. Do I hear some music?
I know. Shane's back there trying to find the Adele song, I think.
Okay.
It's a thing. In case we start fighting, he's going to play it, so we'll sing it to
each
other.
I would never fight with you.
I know.
Never.
I know.
Even
anyway,
after the day I've had today, I would never
fight
with you.
What happened?
Oh, we won't get it.
Okay. That's fine. No, that's your choice.
I've been a little on edge.
I see.
Okay.
I will ask you about that later on the commercial break.
Okay. I'm trying to de-stress.
Yeah, that's right. Calm blue ocean, my
there
friend.
You know. Yep.
So Thanksgiving is supposed to be a holiday that does that.
Mm-hmm.
It is supposed to be about cooking a good meal and enjoying mm-hmm. it with people that you love.
That's right.
And I think there's a couple of problems I would like to discuss. One is, I don't think, this is a minor one, and that is, I think not enough people actually cook. And so that's the one day a year people do cook, and it really stresses them out.
Sure.
And so they don't cook all year. And that's a problem because, you know, processed foods and all that, that's a problem.
But you know what? Why would you cook when you can get a Thanksgiving special from Popeyes for
$49.99? No. This is why heart disease is rampant in this country.
Exactly.
So there's that. And so I think people think they have to stress out about it. And granted, I grew up in a very cooking household. My dad was, in fact, in the restaurant industry. And so cooking was always like a very zen thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be simple. And
yeah.
The simplest, you know, salt and pepper sometimes is all you need. You don't need to do anything crazy. Just, you know, season it. Salt your proteins. Put in the oven.
That's it.
You're good.
A turkey is very easy.
A turkey is very easy. But people, I've seen someone go to tears over a turkey because they were unsure of what to do. So it's stressful to a lot of people.
It's just that stigma that a Thanksgiving turkey is his big presentation, and if you mess it up, then you're disappointing the entire family.
I blame Norman Rockwell for that one.
What?
Well, he's
giving
right.
the perfect the family
perfect
picture.
Thing.
Right.
Hello. Oh, boy. Here
Hello.
It is. We just need
is
that.
It me
we just
you're ne- looking
no,
for?
You're just doing a Lionel Richie Adele mashup is what you're doing.
Because I'll be honest with you, I have not heard the Adele version.
Oh. And I'm
don't stop. Go come down there. Because I just don't I'm a traditionalist. For the most part, once someone does something, I think that's like, all right, that's the best it can be.
It's not a cover though. It's not a cover of the Lionel Richie song. It's its own song.
It's not the same words and everything?
No,
it's this beautiful, heartfelt ballad that's so beautiful. It's about calling up an ex that you can't get over years later that you still have feelings for and apologizing
for being a jerk.
That's
kind of like what Lionel Richie did, even though she wasn't an ex and he was stalking her.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Anyway, I'm trying to make a point about Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry.
Can we have a point about Thanksgiving?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. My point about Thanksgiving is this. It is supposed to be unspoiled by commercial stuff. It is supposed to be simple and good and wonderful. In fact, it is getting, I believe, it is getting a bit ruined because expectations, people stress out and freak out about it. But also, this idea, and feel free to call me and tell me I'm wrong or agree with me or whatever, 312-981-7200. I want to hear from you about this because I think this is a big deal. This idea of opening retail stores on Thanksgiving to begin Black Friday much earlier, I'm not talking about midnight. Like last year it was midnight, and I thought that was appalling. This year, there are things opening at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
On Thanksgiving day. Nobody will have an opportunity to be with their families.
Well, I think what...
If you have to go to work at 4.
Well, I think what retailers are sensing is that people are starting to have Thanksgiving earlier in the day. The dinner, the actual dinner, earlier in the day. So that they're
if
not...
If that's the case, it's because they're trying to... adapt to the retailer's hours because they're trying to go out there and get the best deal possible. I don't know if it's just like a natural.
So I want to talk about let's name some brands. We're not talking about a few stores. Let's think about the brands I'm about to list. Think about how many stores are just in the Chicago area, and then imagine this. I mean, how many employees that we're talking about here? Kmart, H.H. Gregg, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, Old Navy, Best Buy, Toys R Us, Target, JCPenney, Walgreens, Kohl's, Meijer, Sears, Lowe's, just to name a few.
Those are the ones that are going to be open.
They will all be open by 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of people. And I realize because I have worked in retail and I have waited tables, and I realize, and hell, working in this industry right here, we're 24/7.
Yeah.
If someone's always got to be on. Sometimes, if you live very far away from your family, if you do not have relatives, or if you do not wish to speak to them, sometimes it is preferable to work a holiday. And in fact, sometimes that can help you because sometimes in some fields, like in retail, you often get paid time and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes people want to work on holidays, and that's fine. But I'm sure not the entire store of any big box is voluntary
on a given
Thanksgiving. You know, there's got to be some people going, there's no way. No.
You mean of who's going to work that
night? Yeah.
No, I think it is voluntary because there's such a large staff. Not everybody works every day all day long.
All right, Roger.
They have different shifts. So.
Shane, do you have something to add about that? I do
have something to add about that.
Okay.
I am a retail employee.
Okay.
I've brought it up on this show a couple times at Best Buy. I love the people I work with. I love my managers.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about the day-to-day job. But listen to this. On Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving and Black Friday, I am very excited to be producing Steve and Johnny here in the morning from 5 to 10. But I am not very excited to only go home.
So 5 to 10 a.m.?
Yeah, 5 to 10 a.m. And that'll be a 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. kind of shift. I'm not excited to then go home to Schaumburg to have a piece or two of turkey with my family for 2 hours, then come back here to Bucktown and work at Best Buy from 4 p.m. until 1 a.m. and then come back here to WGN 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. and then go back to Best Buy from 5 p.m. until midnight, and then go back to Best Buy on Saturday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. I'm not excited about that, and it wasn't voluntary. I was told I had
to. You had to work.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
So I'm a little concerned for you driving all around Chicagoland in that condition.
In my motorcycle.
Okay.
I'll have a car that day.
That's not a thing.
No, I'll have my dad's truck. I understand that that comes with the job. So it's two days out of the year. I can deal with 2 days out of the year. But we don't want to be doing it. It's not something that I'm volunteering for.
Well, there's a bigger piece to this, and that is, like, we need to look at the context of Black Friday and how out of control it has gotten. I know we got to take a break in a minute, but let's take a call real quick. Hi, Terry. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you? I agree with you 150%, believe me, because I've been doing some of my Christmas shopping, and I happen to have asked at the store, do you have to work on Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And the girl said to me, we all have to.
Mm.
I go, what do you mean? She goes, every employee, and we some of our family members will not be able to spend Thanksgiving with us at all because they have to. It's mandatory. You work for that thing, you are working.
Gosh.
That's it. I go, this is terrible. I'll tell you, it's Kmart. They all have to work.
Mm.
That's it. And I thought, well, that's terrible. What if you have people that came in from out of town? You only see them for Thanksgiving, and you have to work.
Yeah. Or if you can't travel as a result, you know, if you can't travel to be with your family because you have to work that day.
Right. And I think this is terrible. For God's sakes, can't you give, I mean, is money that great? These people are going to shop.
Right.
No matter what. One day you can't let them.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you're going to shut. It's getting me madder to the point where, you know what, I'm just clicking with my mouse. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Shopping online, and that's going to make it, the online shopping, more because I think people are getting disgusted with this. I go, you know, maybe we should go back to the old way where, you know what, the late night was Thursday night shopping. That was it. None of the stores were open at night. I said, and you know what? People spent their money. You just juggled your time. You know what? Thanksgiving has become commercial because of the fact that, jeepers, now they're open on Thanksgiving. They just don't shut down.
Right. I know it. I know. And it seems like I believe, and we should probably get some kind of economist in here to talk about this, but it seems like the shopping season will expand or shrink to fit the time that is allotted for it. And so if we just say it's not going to open until Friday morning, it'll work out. People, as you said so perfectly, people are still going to spend their money.
They're going to call. It's like, okay, they used to sell cars 7 days of work. They don't sell cars on Sunday. Has that stopped people from buying cars?
Right. Exactly.
No.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. No, not at all.
You know? So I don't know. I'm anxious to see what the numbers are going to say about as far as online. Is that going to really promote it? Because people are getting aggravated with this.
They are. And I think, you know what, I was talking with Kathy O'Malley about this morning as we, you know, after the Kathy and Judy show, because she was telling me about how a lot of people are really making an effort to shop with mom and pop stores, not go to the big boxes or boycott the ones that are not that are not going to give employees the Thanksgiving holiday off, or they are even making a point to just shop online. And so I think you're right. I think it'll be really interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Said, you know what? If I guess if people really it meant something to them, they would not go to these stores. And, you know, maybe then they would, but I think, didn't they try that a few years ago? And it was, I forgot who opened up like 6 o'clock on Thursday, you know, Thanksgiving morning. I'm thinking, who the hell's going to go be shopping at 6 o'clock on Thursday on Thanksgiving morning? I'm kind of getting a bird ready. I'm not going to be going shopping.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, it's when I have to cook dinner, my turkey, I'm up at like 6 in the morning getting everything going. I go, because you know what? You're in the kitchen all day long. What are you going to do? Hey, wait a minute. I get their sales going. He just dropped everything in my shop.
Were you going to put the turkey in the oven and then go fight somebody over a DVD player at Walmart? That's your plan, right?
And you know what? I'll tell you what. And, you know, by the time you're too tired and exhausted, forget it. I said, 1 year, my husband and I, we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had never done the thing on the day after Thanksgiving, and I did it. Well, we got good deals when we were back home at 9 o'clock in the morning. I go, this is kind of weird coming home at 9 o'clock in the morning. I go, what do we do? You know.
So were the deals so good that it was worth doing?
Do you know what? Some of the deals that we did, we got really good deals with. But I said, you know what? I did it. I said, would I do it again? Hell no.
Yeah, that was my next question, right?
I don't need this. It's not that I'm wealthy, but you want to know something? My time is worth more money than I'm saving.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I totally agree with you.
I said, and I will, like, I really try and buy things that are made in the USA. Mm-hmm. I will spend the extra money for that. Because, you know what? I've kept somebody with their job.
Sure.
I said, not me shopping on Thanksgiving is going to keep somebody with their job. I think if everybody boycotted it, they'd let those people go home to their families.
Yeah.
And give the Native Americans their land back.
Well, there's that.
Maybe we should just deposit turkey carcasses at the front doors of the businesses.
Well, that's a radical idea, but you know what? I'm open to anything at this point. Thanks very much for the call, Terry.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving
Bye-bye.
To you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Terry's got a plan. She's going to drop off the turkey bones. That's her plan. Well, I mean, it is complicated, right? There's a lot to this, and I don't want to begrudge anybody the ability to make extra money if they want to work a holiday. Where it breaks down for me is the having to. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the issue to me.
Yeah.
And I think if we take a step back, I think the even bigger piece is that I cannot get my head around Black Friday. I can't understand it. I feel like the whole holiday season has gotten so out of control with, I mean, I live down here. I live right here near Michigan Avenue. And this time of year is stressful to me to watch because I see expectations very high. I see couples and families out shopping, screaming at each other, having a miserable time, absolutely miserable time. I have seen a couple fight on Michigan Avenue about, you just bought me this gift. I told you I wanted, let's look at the definition of the word gift. It is something that you choose and want to give someone with no expectation in return. There should be no expectation attached to it, nor should it. I mean, it's all so icky to me and so overblown and out of proportion. And the if you look at the numbers of what the average family spends on gifts at the holidays, it's a lot. It is so, so much. I mean, I just wish we would all dial it down. And I mean, who here listening right now does not have enough stuff in their house right now? I mean, I think we all have so much stuff. It's overwhelming, right? Maybe not you, Shane. Sorry. Poor Shane. You had a rough week.
We're working on getting him back to...
I know. We should explain what the heck we're talking about.
Yeah, after news. Let's get to news.
Let's go to news. I'm the worst person in the world. Most people have an overabundance of stuff, but even then, even now, you have a minimalist lifestyle, even though it was forced upon you. You have a minimalist lifestyle, and you have a different perspective. We're going to news before I say something even worse and put my foot even further into my mouth. We got to take a break first, though, right? Yeah, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to get you to news. 720 WGN. Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth. Feeling a bit like I put my foot in my mouth in that last segment.
No.
Apologize to you, esteemed producer Shane Reardon.
Absolutely not.
Here, let us recap.
Okay.
What I was trying to say was, when I say we, I don't mean the three of us sitting here. I mean, generally in the United States, we have a lot of stuff. Stuff is quite easily accessible.
Sure.
There are big box stores all over the place, and we have a kind of disposable culture. Whereas just a generation or two ago, we tended to have something and hang on to it and fix it and take good care of it. So when I said we all have too
much... You had a long time to think about that explanation.
No, I've said that many times on the show, so
okay.
You can back me up with that. The tape can back me up. So when I said we have too much crap, I wasn't specifically talking about you, nor did I mean to do that this week, because You, in fact, have now had a minimalist lifestyle thrust upon you this week. Please share that
really
with
us. No option. My apartment caught on fire, the building.
I am the worst person in the world, Badish.
Yeah.
Things happen, unfortunately.
So I don't really have any items, and I feel like you kind of personally attacked me for that.
Come on.
It's my
fault. You don't think that. You were laughing, you jerk.
Well, no, it was funny. No, I mean,
no, it wasn't funny. It was horrible.
Everything turns out the way it's supposed to turn out, and I'm safe, and everybody in my building safe, and the dog safe. And
thank goodness.
And,
thank God. Like, thank God you were home and got your dog out.
This radio station has been more generous and more gratuitous than I could have ever imagined, helping me out with anything that I could need in my time of struggle. But that being said, so many people have it so much worse off than I do, and I consider myself very lucky. And I got out from under a very poor management company and got into a pretty sweet apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
But right before
silver
the show,
lining
we
and
were talking,
a dark cloud.
Right. Right before the show, we were talking about this, and you were talking about how it put the concept of stuff in a bit of it gave you perspective.
Yeah, I had too much of it.
Yeah.
And now I don't have very much, and I'm thinking, hey, I've got just exactly what I need.
Right.
I've got everybody that I need, everything that I need, and I'm going to be fine.
And that see, part of the reason that
I don't have clothes, so
okay,
if,
well, we can work.
In fact, he's not wearing anything behind the producer's glass right now, which is why he's
there's
sitting.
There's a reason we put a curtain up, Amy. Yeah, right. This week.
Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do. So, I mean, part of the reason, that was not in my mind when I said that a minute ago, is because you have had a very good attitude about it. I mean, when you sent me a text message earlier this week and told me what happened, right away, are you okay? Is your dog okay?
Yeah.
And
I think it was, is your dog okay? Are you okay, actually?
Probably, knowing me. I mean, you were texting me, so obviously you're fine.
That was the dog.
It ain't the dog texting. Yeah. So, you know, but I mean, you've had such a good attitude about it. And from the start, you've been saying, you know what? I'm good. The dog's good. I'm fine. It's fine. It's fine.
But why be negative about it? Negativity is not going to change it.
No.
So it happened. It's time to move on.
It's an unfortunate setback, but you are doing an excellent job of seeing the positive
unfortunate
part
and
of it.
And inconvenient. That's the way I'm looking at it. I had to move today in the snowstorm.
Oh.
So it took me an hour to get back and forth from Pilsen to Logan Square. Pilsen to Logan Square took me 1 hour.
Should have been
on 90.
Very fast.
Yeah. Should have been like 15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah. Anyway. Well, before I put my foot into my mouth and insulted you and your plight, Shane, we were discussing Black Friday.
We were.
And how, you know, I'm concerned about Thanksgiving. I'm concerned about how Black Friday is inching up closer and closer and closer. I mean, we've been complaining on this show since August about how, you know, holiday stuff has appears so early. The retail cycle is so early, you know. I think we were saying that we saw Halloween stuff like in July. I think that was when the first one of us spotted something like that. And then we started seeing like the little marshmallow Santas probably around September. And, you know, it just gets earlier and earlier and earlier. And I just wonder where it ends. And I also before the break was talking about how I think we've kind of just lost the love a little bit, and we've gotten so tangled up in the expectation of the material. Because I'm down here on Michigan Avenue almost every single day, and I see people this time of year having a miserable time. And it's so beautiful to walk along Michigan Avenue in the winter, any time of year, but especially in the winter with all the beautiful twinkly lights, and everyone's bundled up, and everyone should be feeling very merry and bright. But instead, I see people fighting, I see people shoving, I see people being rude to the people they claim to love. I cannot tell you how many couples I see fighting over, you need to give me this gift, or you did this, or you said this, or what are we doing? What are we doing here? I feel like we've totally lost the message. We've totally, we're not really even focused on just even like the, forget all the religious stuff of whatever you celebrate this time of year. Let's set all that aside, because that's between you and the origin of the world as you believe in it. So let's set all that aside. Let's just talk about the time of year where people want to spend time with their families, with their loved ones, and, you know, friends and family. we're not even doing that because I feel like everyone's fighting and there's so much pressure to get the right gift and spend all this money that no one has. And, you know, that's where my concern is. I just feel like we're getting into such a hyper consumer place that we're losing the human part and we're losing the, the person to person part.
Absolutely.
That's what I think.
I'm vowing this holiday season to purchase my gifts online and to come down here and walk around and enjoy what's in front of us.
Beautiful city.
Yeah.
I'm not
worried about shopping at Forever 21.
Why would you do that?
Well, if
Forever 21.
Because my girlfriend likes stuff from there.
Oh,
so
okay.
In there and get her something.
Sure.
But I could just get it online and not have to worry about dealing with the people.
Also, I'll issue you a better challenge.
Yeah.
Try, when possible, to shop on Etsy.
Yes, of course.
And to shop from other mom and pop places.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with a chain store per se.
Right.
But we've engineered our cities and our worlds and our routines where it is much easier to get something from a big box store than it is from a mom and pop. And about a year ago, I challenged myself. I was like, I'm going to spend a month without going to a big box and just see how difficult that is. It was extremely difficult. There were things I did not know where to get outside of a big box. Simple, stupid stuff.
Deodorant.
Hairpins. Where the heck do you buy hairpins if you don't go to a big box store? It was very difficult to find.
Yeah.
I ended up finding an independently run beauty supply store online and ordered them from there. Convenience goes a long way,
yeah.
Right? Because I'm an Amazon Prime member and I could have had those pins tomorrow morning,
yeah.
You know. And there's something to be said for that. And I use Amazon and it's fine, but I try to challenge myself. And this year I've decided I'm only going to give people gifts that are experiences or made or purchased from a mom and pop store. But I'm going to try to do a lot of my shopping on Etsy.
Yeah.
And support local.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's my plan. Let's take some calls.
Okay.
Hi, Danny. You're on WGN. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Great. Do you have a comment about Black Friday?
Yeah. I'm one of those retail employees this year. And the situation that we're in, we're basically told from the outset at the beginning of this month, the company does a blackout period. There's no request off days from here on till the beginning of January because of returns and things like that. But we were also told, it's like, hey, we're already a short-staffed store to begin with, so everybody in our store is required to be there on Thursday as well as Friday, and we have to get there as well 2 hours before the store opens on Thursday and on Friday. So our day is going to start at 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon on Thanksgiving, and then our day is going to start somewhere between 4:30 and 5 on Friday.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very fun holiday.
So it probably won't be, but, you know, the whole deal is, with Black Friday especially, which has never made sense to me. I've worked in retail for going on 14 years now. And what never makes sense is they price what they call their doorbuster items at a rate below what they paid for it to originally get it in the store to get people to come in and buy it in hopes that they're going to come in there and buy the bigger items mm-hmm. that are also available at regular retail price.
So,
and then the company the company I'm working for this year decided to do their Black Friday pricing on most of their items that aren't going to be doorbusters for the entire month.
I see.
That's going to mitigate a little bit of it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, the same as always. There's still going to be 200 people lined up outside mm-hmm. on the morning of Black Friday. And we're probably going to get every bit of 100 or 150 people in the door the first 2 hours we're open on Thursday.
And so, given the amount of time that you have worked in retail, Danny, what is your personal feeling about Black Friday just as a day? Does it make you hate people? Does it make you want to, does it make you think about gift giving differently?
Gift giving, not so much, but gives you a unique perspective if you've never worked in a retail position before mm-hmm. and go to one on basically the uglier side of humanity.
Sure.
Like the company I worked for, they transferred me down to another one of their stores to help out when they were first opening and shorthanded. And I happened to get off of I had to have the late shift, I should say, on Black Friday itself. And I went to the Walmart in that area that morning, and there was one person was arrested for fighting another person over a digital camera, and then there was a lady arrested about an hour after that. She tased somebody over a DVD player.
See,
you know,
that blows my mind. I cannot imagine any material item that is worth getting injured for, worth harming another human being for. I mean, we, you know, there's that site. What is it? It's like, Shane, we were just looking this up. What was it called? It's like
BlackFridayDeathCounter.com.
Right. BlackFridayDeathCounter.com. And yeah, it shows you all these injuries and fatalities. I mean, there was a woman who miscarried after being trampled a year or two ago. Yeah. There's people who died and EMT could not get to them because of the stampede of people. I just feel like I absolutely believe every word you're saying, Danny, because I think, I mean, we see every year we see this on the news, and I feel like every year it just gets worse. People are like crazed when like the door, I've even seen it, you know, video where like the doors get busted in.
Yeah.
The poor employee who has to go up there and unlock the door just gets kind of beat up. I don't
right.
like it.
And then like in the case of the store that I'm working at, we only have 12 employees right now.
Oof.
And the way into even everything out for everybody on Black Friday, there's only going to be, our store is a moderate sized store at that. It's not one of the bigger ones in the chain, but where we're going to be at, there's going to be four of us to man the store as salespeople with three managers. And then we have two part-time people we hire just for the day that all they're going to do is sit at the register and ring things up.
That doesn't sound like a lot. And you're saying 150 or so people expected in the morning?
Yeah, and that's just for the afternoon crowd on Thursday. And they're saying we could get upwards of 200 at the door when we first open at 7 a.m. on Friday, and possibly talk about 500 or 600 before 5 o'clock that day.
Wow. I'm very curious.
Short-staffed.
Danny, are you willing to reveal which company it is you work for? I'm very curious.
Oh, yeah, I work for H.H. Gregg.
There's only 12 of you in there.
Yeah, like I said, it's a moderate-sized store. And, like, right now, I should have prefaced that by saying right now I'm working for the company outside of the greater Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
Where the store's located, it's not that big of a difference in size compared to the store that I had previously been working at, but it's almost comparable. And we had this other store had almost double the staff. It's just the area that this store is in it's in a weird space, and it's just hard. There's high turnaround at almost every retailer around here from what we've found by just going around and asking.
Wow. Well,
like the mall here can't keep employees at any of their locations either. There's a Sears in the mall here. It's a pretty decent size, and it's got every bit of, I think they only have like 35 employees for their whole store.
Wow. Gosh, this is perhaps worse than we thought. Well, Danny, I appreciate the call and the inside look at this issue. I hope that you find time, even though it clearly will not be on the day. I hope you find some time to enjoy Thanksgiving with your family this season.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, have a good one. That is ridiculous. I mean, that's understaffed. I think if you have just a few employees with that big a crowd, I mean, still not even 500-600 people, 200 at the door when you go to open it.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. How can anybody get? I mean, you can't get any kind of help if someone's looking for. So you can't help anybody. That, I mean, to me, if I were the manager of that store, I would think I am putting my employees in serious risk and peril, and I'm setting them up to fail. Frankly,
that's true.
Because.
Well, here's the thing about H.H. Gregg.
Yeah.
H.H. Gregg salesmen are commissioned. So there's 12 of them in there. If he works for one department, he's probably one of three or four people in that department. He's going to get about 50 people in his department in the first couple hours, and he's making money because he's a commissioned salesman. So that I don't know if that makes it worth it for your bottom line, that your paycheck is worth that much more.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be for me, but I think that takes the edge off a little bit. But he hit the nail on the head where he's talking about how they're offering the sale prices all month long.
Mm-hmm.
Every store is doing that to mitigate Black Friday and to get rid of that rush. People need to recognize that. There are no deals on Black Friday. You are so not getting deals.
You're
oh my gosh, yes.
Camping out in the parking lot will actually get you nowhere but cold.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Exactly.
I've long suspected that.
Maybe 3 or 4 years ago there were major deals,
yeah,
but not anymore. Not anymore. I can give you the same price on a television today that I could on Black Friday.
How interesting.
Unless so it's a doorbuster, but all those are bad TVs.
And so
bad
how
products.
Long does a doorbuster last? Is that...
So I think the way that my company's doing it, Best Buy's doing it, is with tickets. So we'll give tickets out to the people in line. Like we'll walk down the line before the store opens and say, what are you looking for?
Okay.
And if they're in line enough and...
But you need to know exactly what you're looking for. You can't just say
for the doorbusters, yeah.
Okay, so you can't just go in there and say I'm looking to compare televisions to pick one out as a gift.
It's not a
you have to say like I want the Sony model whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Which I don't think most people know going in because if you know that much you probably would have ordered it online.
They know if it's a doorbuster. So this is for doorbusters only.
You're right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, but then again, it's 8 hours out of my life, maybe 20 hours out of my life for the 2 days.
Do you get time and a half?
I think I get double.
Okay, well, there's something at least. Let's take another caller. Hi, Jill. You're on WGN Radio. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Hi, Amy. Hello. Yeah, I really don't think all these people should have to be working on Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know, McDonald's, the Target, the... I should be working because I work in a hospital. I'll say where I work, St. Mary's, Milwaukee, is probably a 200-year-old hospital. So even within a hospital, only essential departments work. Physical therapy doesn't need to work. Occupational therapy. I'm lab, so the lab needs to be in a hospital 24 hours a day, you know, every day of the year. But that's what it, you know, who should be working, essential services. But the other ones, you know, let people have the day off. Yeah. Like you said, people need the experiences. We're so, I think so many things are wrapped around money.
Yeah.
And it's commercialism.
It's commercial, right. I agree.
Right, you want to have experiences with people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my family, my dad had a health scare this year. We almost lost him, and a lot of them are up there, you know, almost 90. So, you know, I want to see those people, and I care about being with them. And about the shopping, I stopped going to the Black Friday things years ago because you'd get out there at 2 in the morning, freezing to death, and they were all gone for the first, you know. Or like he said, it's some off-brand made in an atoll in the Pacific, you know, something you never heard of. And I've had very good luck online.
Yeah.
You know, say I've been where I've woken up at Friday this time in the morning, you know, Delco Potty or something like that, and checked my Kindle and gotten a nice iPod or something. But
yeah,
it's more, I like your idea about experiences. So I got to say, I have my 50th birthday present sitting right here next to me. Who is a little male Siamese cat, Frodo.
Aww.
And he was a gift, and he's a gift that keeps on giving, and he comforts me when I'm sick.
Aww.
And keeps me company. But so he's the exception to money bought some happiness there. But
that's true.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear, I'm sorry I didn't get the producer's name.
Shane
is okay, because where I work, our specialty is burns, and they're so painful and terrible. And we had I'm in a little studio apartment here, and we had a fire in the place when everybody had pets, and unfortunately the people lost a kitten and a cat, and luckily the chihuahuas next door lived, and so I'm so happy that he's not hurt and that his puppy's alive. And
thank you, Jill.
And I'm sure he's got a lot of people love him who are going to help him.
Yes.
Very much so. Already.
Great. You, everybody have a wonderful holiday, and thanks for letting me speak, even though I'm half asleep.
Thanks for the call, Jill. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too.
Well, so she's got a great point, and that is, you know, that there are some things that should be open: hospitals, radio stations, right? Things like that. We know getting into it, we're going to have to be 24/7. You know, I feel like we should like make friends with people working overnight shifts on hospitals, right? We should have like regular nurses and doctors that call in and say hello to us, because we're kind of all in the same boat. I mean, they're doing life-saving stuff. We're just here kind of chatting, but still. Point being, you know, we go in knowing we've got to work weird hours and it's 24/7 and all that. But yeah, I think, I mean, I remember growing up, it was a big deal to get to the grocery store in time for Thanksgiving because everything was going to close the night before. All the grocery stores were going to close like Wednesday at noon so that everyone could go be with their families. There was maybe one store that would stay open. They would open a couple hours in the morning, right, of Thanksgiving, just in case you really, really, really messed something up and needed to get something. But, you know, now things are open. And I think we, as our last caller, Jill, pointed out, we're losing the human part for the commercial. So we got to think about that. So I challenge us all to go to more mom-and-pop stores. Go to Etsy, E-T-S-Y, Etsy.com. Go there. Look at all the stuff that you can order there that's so beautiful and unique and special, instead of just going to, you know, a big box and getting something that a ton of millions of people have. That's my challenge to you. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to get you to news before we turn you over to Plyer. All that good stuff. We'll be back in just a bit. 720 WGN.